Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to 1 John. 1 John and chapter 2. I wasn't planning on preaching this, but I just trust this is where the Lord wants us this morning. I'm going to be really just reiterating what we dealt with yesterday. And yesterday we focused in on this thought, abide with God. Abide with God. That's the challenge. If you can learn anything as a young adult, you need to learn to abide with God. That'll offset loneliness. That will offset any struggles that you have if you just learn to abide with God. And my desire right now is to challenge you to abide with God, and not just right now, not just here at a conference, but to abide with God, to continue abiding with God when you get home. Because as we are going to see here in 1 John, as it was in John's day, as it is in our day, there's a lot of people who are forsaking the Lord. There's a lot of young people who grew up in good, solid, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist churches that have forsaken the Lord, that are not abiding with the Lord, and their lives are a mess. And some of them came to conferences just like this one. And so I want to challenge you this morning to not just abide with the Lord temporarily right now, but let's continue abiding with Him. And how do we do that? And so 1 John chapter 2 and then verse 15, if you have your place, go ahead and stand. First John chapter 2 and then verse 15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That'll preach. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, you are not abiding with the Lord. You're abiding in the world. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. John the Apostle's favorite words is abide. You see it in the Gospel of John. You see it in the Epistles of John. Verse 18 is really what I want to focus on, is verses 18 through 20. It says, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us. John's saying there are people just that were in church just like this. They were in meetings just like this. They went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye, I love this verse, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Okay, look down at verse 26. These things have I written unto you, concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, there's a lot to unpack here, there's a lot to deal with here, but I want to convey this truth, this challenge. Continue with Christ in times of Antichrist. Continue with Christ in times of Antichrist. We live in a day where there are many Antichrists. And you as a young adult, you have to learn to continue with Christ even in these times. And John gives us the method how to do that. And we're going to see that. Let's pray. Dear God, I am grateful for your word. I'm thankful for how you've spoken to my heart through this passage. I'm thankful for the preaching we heard from Brother Mason earlier, from Brother Auger yesterday, Mrs. Auger, for the ladies. Lord, I'm thankful for those that you're working through. Lord, I pray that you would help me now as I preach your word. I pray that you would speak to the hearts of the young adults here. Lord, there's so much potential in this room. There's so much potential of what you can do through their lives. But Lord, they'll limit that if they fail to abide in you. And so God, I pray you'd help. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thanks for standing. So when it concerns Christianity, we live in a day of confusion. When it comes to Christian doctrine, when it comes to what Christians teach and believe, we live in a day of confusion. In other words, people don't know what to believe, and they don't know what to teach. It was like that in John's day. We live in a day where there's a lot of what I would call so-called Christian doctrine. It's not really Christian, it's so-called Christian doctrine. There's a lot of different flavors of Christianity. There's more flavors of Christianity than there are like flavors of ice cream. I mean, really, especially you go up to the Northwest. I was talking to Pastor Merrick. There's so many different types of Christians. You knock on doors, you invite people to church, you talk to people about the Lord, and they'll say, "Yeah, I'm a Christian." And then you ask them where they go to church, and they'll give you some answer that like Champion Center. I'm like, "Are you going to a football game? What are we?" There's so many different beliefs and different ideas of what Christianity is. And, you know, there's those who deny the deity of Christ, and yet they call themselves a Christian. There's those who teach that you work your way to heaven. There's those who dismiss the authority of the Bible. There's those who deny the authority of the local New Testament church. There's those who justify carnality and worldliness. And then, you know, in music, in standards, in dress, you know, there's those who promote contemporary Christian music. I call it, you know, CCM, I call it carnal Christian music, because that's really what it is. Contemporary is just another way of saying carnal. There's those who twist Bible prophecy so they can write books and make money. I mean, I tell you what, I'm going to leave that there. I could go on and on and on, but there's a lot of so-called Christians and so-called teachers, those who teach a form of Christianity that is, it's un-Christian. In other words, it doesn't have anything to do with Christ. It's very much un-Christian. In fact, some of them teach a doctrine, a set of beliefs that is anti-Christ. Anti-Christian. And yet they call themselves a Christian. You know, there's a lot of so-called Christian teachers, and believe it or not, they have a way of getting your attention. Because the ones they go after and the ones they build their churches on are Christians. They don't go after the world, they go after believers. And they have a way of getting your ear, getting your attention, because there's been a lot of people, there's been a lot of young people that grew up in solid churches and yet have departed from the faith once delivered to the saints. Why? Because they started listening to the wrong crowd. They started reading wrong books. They started going after people that were compromising and those who are drifting. It just blows my mind. There's so many people that I grew up with that sat under the same preaching I sat under, that had the same Bible that I had, and yet they are out in the world, or they're in churches that are very un-Christian. And I believe it really makes it imperative that we be careful who we're listening to. Who has our ear? Who's influencing us? See, if you're gonna continue with Christ, if you're gonna continue to abide with Christ in these times, you better be careful that you are, better be sure that you are listening to the truth. Amen. That you are listening to those who teach the truth. That you are listening to the Word of God. And I'll say it this way. You better be sure you are listening to the Lord in your heart rather than the God of this world. So the God of this world, He'll use anything to get you away from Christ. The truth is, the devil, which we know is the God of this world, the devil will even use Scripture to deceive you. I mean, the devil quoted Scripture when he was tempting the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. The truth is, the devil will use anything to get you away from Christ and to cause you to stop abiding in Christ. You know, John, the book of 1 John it's interesting to me. I preached it at our church, and, you know, John, he's really focusing in on a particular group of believers. He calls them little children. Doesn't mean they were little children, like 4-year-olds. No, they were young believers. In fact, I believe they were third generation Christians. They were those who hadn't been around when Jesus was on the earth like John the Apostle. At this point, John is pretty old. He's aged, okay? He's up there in years, and he's writing to these younger Christians who likely are your age range. Young adults. He's writing to them, and he's really, what he's done all the way up to chapter 2 is he's just been rapid fire, just giving them truth after truth, truth bomb after truth bomb. He's just giving it to them over and over again. He's made it clear that God is holy. You are not. He's made it clear that you need forgiveness because you're a dirty, rotten sinner. He's made it clear that you need the forgiveness that only Christ offers. He's made it clear that you are to follow in the steps of Christ. He's made it clear that you are to love others. And he takes a brief pause to now begin to explain why he's been giving them these truths in rapid fire succession. And it's because there are those who would seduce you. There are those who would get you away from the truth. And there's a world in which we live that is very much contrary to the truth. I'm not going to preach this for a long time, but go ahead and look at verse number 15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I mean, that's very black and white. If you love the things of this world more than you love the things of God, you don't love God. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. And the challenge, obviously, is to abstain. You ought to abstain from loving the things of the world. You ought to abstain from loving its comfort, its pleasure, the things that excite your pride. You ought to abstain from pursuing what this lost world pursues, because if you do not abstain, your love for God, your desire to abide with God, will be replaced with a desire to abide in this world and love this present world. I like what one man said. He offered this warning. He said, once the world takes over in a Christian's life, he or she will lose their enjoyment of the Father and their desire to be in the Father's will. The Bible will become boring, prayer will become difficult, even Christian fellowship may seem empty and disappointing. Can't help but think there's some young adults in this room right now that describes you. And if that's the case in your life, where's your heart? Do you love the Father? Do you want to abide with the Lord? Do you want to be in fellowship with Him, in constant step with Him? Or are you just wanting to get out of here so you can get back into the thing you really love, the world? Now, I don't know about you, but this challenge to abstain from the things of the world, to love not the things of the world, that is a challenge we need to hear constantly. I even as a pastor, I struggle with it. There's the things of this world constantly are calling for our attention. And we need to constantly be challenged to abstain from the things of the world. And especially in our day and time. We're coming to the last days. No, we're not coming to the last days. We're in the last days. Okay, look at verse number 18. If John the Apostle was in the last days, you and I, 2,000 years later, are in the last days. Okay, look at verse 18. Little children. It is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So John, he's looking around at all those who were falling away in the churches of his time, and he was reminded by their falling away that it is the last time. Now, the last time, it refers to the end of God's timetable concerning his plan of redemption. In other words, there's nothing more that needs to happen prophetically for Jesus to come back. Jesus could come back. You've heard this said. He could come back at any moment. He could come back today. And I would say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The truth is, he could come back at any moment. The phrase here, last time, it's not so much a duration of time as it is a description of time. Do you get the difference? It's not talking about like a duration, like the last minute. It's talking about the characteristic, the description of that ending period. Okay, the last time. We see this throughout the Bible, 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous time shall come. It's a descriptive term. It's saying the last days, what is going to be descriptive of the last days? There will be, as John says, there will be many Antichrists. There will be many Antichrists. Now, that seems a little strange to us. Because when we think of Antichrist, We think of the man of perdition. We think of the beast, right, in Revelation. We think about the one that Satan is going to prop up during the tribulation to try to offer humanity what only Christ can offer, and the one who's going to try to rule the world. And we often think of the Antichrist. Y'all understand what I'm getting at? I know we're dealing with Bible this morning, but that's okay. Okay. Some of you are like, bless you, my child. Okay. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. We often think of the Antichrist, but John, he's not so much focused on that individual. He's focused on Antichrists. What does he mean by that? Well, Christian counterfeits. Can we use that term? Christian counterfeits. Those who put forward false views that lead believers astray and into opposition of Christ. The truth is, when a pastor starts to tell you that you can dress how you want, that you can listen to what you want, that you can live how you want, and God's grace will cover it all, he is not just not teaching the truth, he is teaching against the truth. Because Christ, again, the Lord, he loves you just the way you are, but he loves you way too much to leave you that way. He wants you to be different. He's calling you out of the world. And when someone teaches that you can go ahead and stay in the world and it's okay, they're not just unchristian, they are anti-Christian. And what's so sad about this is there in verse 19, those who were anti-Christian, they had once been in the very churches that John was a part of. Look at verse 19. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. He's saying they may have shared in the membership role, but they didn't share in the new birth. Right? They may have played the part, they may have looked real good, but like Judas Iscariot, many of them, they had just been going along, never really believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, never truly being born again. Yeah. This isn't to say that everyone who gets out of church is not saved. But it always makes you wonder. Because if you know the Lord, how can you walk away from the Lord? When you really know him, the one who loved you when you were in the worst, he loves you. He knows you. He knows you at your worst. He knows what you really are. You know, we can put on facade and we can look good and think, wow, that person just is, man, God is so lucky to have them. But he loves you and he knows the worst about you. And to think that you would walk away from someone who loves you so much, it makes you wonder, did you really know him? Or did you just know about him? See, in the process of time, these antichrists, they left the truth and they left those who held to the truth and they began peddling their own version of the truth. You know, they claim that they have a superior knowledge. I've dealt with this and I've seen it where, especially young people, and I went to Bible college, and there's even people I went to Bible college with who they've gotten out of church, they've gotten away from the King James Bible, they've gone off into the world, or they've gone off into other denominations and other church groups, and they get to this point where they leave the truth and they start, by the way, they don't just leave the truth, they attack those who hold to the truth. And they, in replacing that, they start to peddle their own truth. And they start to say things like, well, we know more. You know, I've learned so much more once I got out of that church. They say things like, well, if you learn the original languages, and they claim that they know the deeper things of God. They claim that they, well, that they're, as Brother Auger mentioned, recovering fundamentalists. But the funny thing is they never recover. They're just miserable. But they claim, this is the thing, they claim, and you, I want you to stop. Let's just pause real for a moment. I want you to stop and think of someone who has gotten out of church that you know, that went to church with you, and now they're out of church. And just think about the things that they've said. Think about the things that they've promoted. Think about the things that they've tried to put in your ear. the truth is they always get to this place where they claim that they know something, they've learned something, they've figured something out that you don't know. It's like they claim that they have, like, they've received some special anointing. Like, wow, if you just get out from under that old Baptist preacher who's just mad at everybody, if you get out from that, then you get where we're at, you'll have a special anointing. You'll get some special knowledge that you're not going to get there. They always claim that they have something we don't. And the thing about it is, their claims have a little bit of, they have some sway. They have sway, and they tend to get us to at least contemplate. Well, maybe they're onto something. But I love it because despite those who'd fallen away, John was confident that believers like us, believers who hold to the truth of God's word, John was confident that they had already received everything they needed. They didn't need this other information or more knowledge. They had everything they needed to continue in the truth. They had everything they needed to continue abiding in the Lord. They had everything they needed. Okay, look at verse number 20. Look here. See, it wasn't the false teachers. It wasn't those who've left the faith that had some special anointing. It was believers. They had a special anointing. What is that? Look at verse 20. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible now that I've studied it. He says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." That's a bold statement. At least gets you thinking, what on earth is he talking about? See, I think this is the point. Despite the spiritual know-it-alls that are out there, genuine believers were anointed with the Holy Spirit who would teach them everything they needed to know. See, the word unction there, it means to come into contact with something. It's an anointing. It refers to the anointing of someone for a special purpose. Okay, in the Old Testament, we know kings and priests, they were anointed with oil. You think about Aaron, the high priest. You think about Saul and David, they were anointed. In the New Testament, based on John 14, John 15, John 16, it's referring, we know the anointing, the unction is referring to the Holy Spirit of God. And I dealt with this yesterday night, but the truth is when you got saved, you were sealed by the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. The Spirit of God, if you're saved, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. God Almighty resides in your heart. I don't want to be like charismatic or anything like that or Bapticostal, but I think sometimes we as Baptists, we really hold up the letter of the law and we forget about the Spirit of God. And I think we struggle with that. And in fact, I think that's why many people who grew up in Baptist churches end up getting out of those churches, getting out of good churches. The truth is, when you got saved, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and you were sealed for a very special purpose. Even more important than being a king, you were sealed for a very special purpose. What is that? To represent Jesus Christ. Right? You were sealed to serve Christ with a saving purpose. Yeah. And that's why the unction, look who the unction is from. The Holy One. Well, who's the Holy One? Well, the same Holy One that Peter preached on at Pentecost. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One that Peter preached. He is the very Lord Jesus who told his disciples that he would send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. He would send him. Okay, look over at John chapter 14. Can we do that? John chapter 14. And verse number 26. I know this is a lot of teaching, but I want to get the truth in your heart and in your ear, because I know there's a world out there and there's a lot of anti-Christian teaching that is trying to get your heart and get your ear. And so look at John chapter 14 and verse number 26. I should turn there too, huh? John chapter 14 and then verse number 26 says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God, He will teach you. He'll bring things to your remembrance. I love that phrase. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. It literally means, it refers to this, a quiet, a calm reassurance. A calm, quiet reminding. You know, I read in my Bible this morning, because it's good for a preacher to read his Bible every day. I read in my Bible this morning in 1 Kings chapter 19, where Elijah was there and he went to Horeb and he wanted to hear from God. And he didn't hear God in the earthquake. He didn't hear God in the fire. He didn't hear God in the wind. He heard God in a still, you know, a still, small voice. And what Jesus is telling the disciples, what he's telling us today is the Spirit of God, the Comforter that comes, He will indwell us. He will be with us. And He will remind us with that still small voice. He will teach us. He will remind us what is true. We don't need other people to teach us. We don't need men. We need to rely on God. That just sounds good, doesn't it? Now, this doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit is going to make us know-it-alls. We don't like know-it-alls. Now, what it means is that when it says He'll teach you all things, it means this: He'll teach you what you need to know when you need to know it. He'll teach you what you need to know when you need to know it, so that you might represent Christ in every situation. You get that? He'll teach you, I want you to get this. He'll teach you what you need to know, when you need to know it, so that you can represent Christ in every situation. He'll teach you what you need to know, when you need to know it, so that you can represent Christ in every situation. And by the way, that's the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit. Despite what charismatics teach, whether Holy Ghost glue and they're barking like dogs and all that kind of stuff and speaking in tongues, the truth is, the Spirit of God does not bring attention to Himself. He does not bring attention to us. He brings attention to Jesus Christ. And the reason we're indwelt by the Spirit of God is so that we might be able to represent Christ and bring attention to Christ in our lives. See, here in these verses, John was encouraging these young believers to continue in the truth. To continue in the truth at a time when many were falling away from the truth. And he was encouraging them to continue in the truth by relying on the Spirit, teaching them all they needed to know. Notice, it wasn't a man. It wasn't some preacher. It was the Spirit of God. By relying on the Spirit, teaching them all they needed to know. They didn't need superior knowledge. They didn't need, some famous pastor from a big church. They didn't need some commentary. They didn't need to read some book on prophecy. They didn't need all this extra spiritual knowledge. They just needed to rely on the Spirit of God to teach them what they needed to know when they needed to know it. That's it. But a lot of times, that's not enough for us. In fact, often that's not, we don't like that. Because we want to know some things. My freshman year, I always heard it joked at Bible college. You know, freshmen, they come to Bible college and they think they know everything. And they learn that they don't know anything by the time they get done at Bible college. I remember being that way. I was like, I came to Bible college and I was like, I've got this figured out, everybody. Okay. And then by the time I'm leaving, I'm like, do I have to leave? I feel like I got so much more to learn. But the truth is, we crave knowledge. Why? So that we can lift ourselves up in pride. And our natural tendency is not to rely on God. Our natural tendency is to rely on man, whether it's ourself or whether it's someone else. Brother Mason was talking about it earlier. We don't go to the Lord when we feel lonely. We go everywhere else. And that's why we end up being a burden. We be a little storm rain cloud in other people's lives. You know those people, it's like, man, they get like a ray of sunshine. There's other people that walk in church and they're like a rain cloud. And you're like, please keep the rain over there. I'm having a good day. But a lot of times we rely on men, we rely on people, and we don't rely on the Lord. I believe this is true, that if you'll continue I'll say it this way. You can continue in the truth at a time when many young people are forsaking it by relying on the Spirit to teach you all you need to know. By relying on the Spirit of God to teach you all you need to know. See, if you're saved, you have an unction from the Holy One. How cool is that? Y'all aren't getting it. Some of you are sleeping. You have an unction from the Holy One. The Lord Jesus Himself has specially anointed you. Can we say that? I mean, that makes it sound even better. You have an unction from the Holy One, and He will teach you what you need to know when you need to know it, so you can point others to Jesus, live a holy life, and continue in the truth. This is the thing. He will teach you. The question is, will you listen? That's where we struggle. Will you listen? Will you listen? There's a lot of young people that depart the truth. They depart from the truth. They leave good Bible preaching churches. They stop listening to their pastors who love them and care for them. Why? Because they are seeking truth apart from the Spirit of God. They seek truth apart from the Spirit of God. When Christians stop listening to and learning from the Spirit of God, they find justification for the flesh and for worldliness. Well, I read this verse in the Bible, and I mean, we're under grace, brother. So I can live how I want to live and listen to the music I want to listen to and go hang out with the people I want to hang out with and drink alcohol, and I can do all these things that the world does because I'm under grace. What's the problem with that? They're finding truth. Is it true that we're under grace? Absolutely. And by the way, if it wasn't for grace, none of us would be here. We're under grace, but that's taking truth and it's trying to learn truth apart from the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of grace? The Spirit of grace is this. Yes, we don't deserve it. Yes, it's our only way to get to heaven. But the Spirit of grace is this. The reason God gave you that grace is because He wants you to be different. Do you see how that works? Okay, I'm going to keep going. Some of you are like, have you stopped? No. See, when young people try to find truth apart from the Spirit of God, they find justification for the flesh and for worldliness. They find doctrine that promotes man and minimizes Christ. They find theological degrees without godly living. This is how I am, but I have very little, I don't have respect for those with degrees. I have respect for those who have godly character. You can tell me you're a doctor, and I appreciate the fact you put in the work, but I appreciate and respect those who reflect Christ. Yeah. But those who find truth apart from the Spirit, they find religious systems without a relationship with God. They look good, but they don't know God. They find out about the world to come, all while continuing to live for this present world. And inevitably, what they do is they turn people from Christ. And they prove to be very much anti-Christ. See, if you've been born again, if you truly have an unction, I want to challenge you to start listening to the Spirit of God. Learn from the Spirit of God. When you're reading the Bible, listen to the Spirit of God. When you're listening to Bible preaching, listen to the Spirit of God. Why is it that the altars are so empty? It's because a lot of people hear preaching, but they don't listen to the Spirit. I have a lady that joined our church from the Philippines. She got married and to a man that was coming to our church. And she asked me after 2 weeks, she said, Pastor, why is it that no one goes to the altar in America? And I looked at her and I said, she said, is that just normal here? I said, it shouldn't be. Why is it that the altars are empty? Well, it's because you're hearing preaching. Maybe right now all you're hearing is Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. You're hearing a man speak, but you are deaf to the Spirit of God.
You need to listen to the Spirit of God when you hear preaching. You need to listen to the Spirit of God when you pray. How many times have you prayed and said, Lord, would you please give me an answer? Would you please give me direction? And then you don't, it's like you pray that, but you don't expect Him to answer. There's been times where I pray and I ask the Lord, what am I supposed to do? And I just have to stop and wait. Are you saying the Spirit of God speaks to you in an audible voice? No. But He speaks to my heart. And you want to know what He reminds me of, brother? He reminds me of Scripture. He teaches me all the things that Jesus already said. But it's amazing how these Scriptures can come out of nowhere, and I haven't read that passage for 5 months. And I can't help but think, that's God Himself giving me the answer to my prayer. Yeah. You need to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. Remember that the Spirit of God, His teaching, it doesn't simply fill your mind. It changes your mind. You know the Spirit of God is speaking when He's trying to change you. You know the Spirit of God is speaking when He's trying to change your mind. I mentioned it yesterday. We ought not read our Bibles just to check a box. We ought to read our Bible until we know God is working on our heart and He wants to change us. You ought to read your Bible until you know you have heard from God, until He breaks your heart, until He sets fire the kindling of the Word of God, until He illuminates your mind. We ought to pray until we know we've spent time with the Lord, until we know we're before the throne of heaven, until we know that we are bowing before the One who's seated as the King of Kings and Lord of the ages. We need to know that we are kneeling and making requests to our Father which is in heaven. We really struggle with being sensitive to the Spirit of God. And it's no wonder why so many young people end up in carnal churches, in non-denominational churches, in churches that taste like whatever flavor you want it to taste like. The reason that's the case is because the young people in our churches haven't learned to listen to the Spirit of God. They've been carnal in good churches, and so then they end up settling for carnal churches. You need to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit of God. This is what's so amazing. He wants to teach you. He wants to teach you. It's just, are you willing to listen? Are you willing to listen? And are you willing to learn what He wants you to learn? I'm a little over time, but you be gracious with me. Praise the Lord. Reflecting Christ. There we go. The truth is, the Spirit of God wants to teach you. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to get a hold of your heart. You need to listen, and you need to be willing to learn what He wants you to learn. A lot of times, especially as young people, you want Him to teach you what you want to learn. You want the answers you want right now. Lord, is my future spouse here in this room? Is there someone for me? Right? You want the Lord to tell you and teach you what you want to learn. You need to be willing to learn what He wants you to learn. Because He's not going to talk to you about a future spouse until you learn to be a good follower of Christ. Does this make sense? He knows. I'll liken it to this. It's like you're standing at a staircase. Like we're standing in the basement down there and you're looking up the stairs. A lot of times, we want to be at the top of the stairs. But Jesus knows, the Spirit of God knows, well, child, you can't get up there until you take this first step. And we really want the Lord to show us the answer up there. We want Him to teach us that truth up there, but He's saying, hey, before we get there, you need to learn this truth. And so, my challenge, it's very simple. If you're going to abide with the Lord and you're going to continue abiding in the Lord, you have to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. You have to learn to listen to the Spirit of God. You have an unction from the Holy One. And so strive to listen and learn. Because if you don't, you are in danger of departing from the faith, of forsaking those who love you. We live in a world filled with so many voices and so many influences. And I want to challenge you, tune your heart to His Spirit.
tune your heart to His Spirit before you start tuning in to the world. Tune your heart to the Spirit of God before you tune in to the world. Are you listening to Him? Are you listening to the Spirit of God? Well, I mean, I try. Okay, let me rephrase the question. When's the last time He changed you? When's the last time He changed your thinking? When's the last time you received the lesson He was trying to teach you? Are you really listening? Are you listening with the intent to learn and to be what He wants you to be? If you hope to continue abiding in Him, you need to tune your heart to His Spirit before you tune into the world. Let's pray.